Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Sister Rehana Kazemi. She has done Bachelor's of Science in Applied Psychology. She's a researcher in the Hafsa Ilmi of Qom, and her research right now is on best trainers and coaches for students in non-Islamic countries with Islamic perspective. A very warm welcome, Sister, and Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much.
Well, you're in the program Islamic Upbringing today, so let's start with the upbringing itself. What is Islamic upbringing as per you, and when does that start exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to all my listeners. I will say for the best upbringing, or for the Islamic upbringing, it starts from the selection of spouse.
All right.
When you start to looking for a girl, or you start to looking for a boy, you have to keep in your mind what are the certain criteria that Islam emphasizes. So Islam advocates choosing of a wife or husband based on moral characteristics.
All right.
The Holy Prophet says, marry into a decent family, for genes have effects. He is also reported to have encouraged Muslims to marry virtuous women in order to have virtuous children. He has condemned those who look only for wealth or beauty when choosing a spouse.
All right, so when we go out to choose a spouse, the beauty is the first thing that we look for, and then wealth, definitely, and the criteria that we were supposed to avoid. But you're saying that's not what we should be looking for. The criterion is different.
Yes, because if we want a good offspring, then we need to look what Islam said for a good wife and what Islam said about the good husband.
Right.
So girl should always need to look like she select a person who is polite, and a man always like keep in his mind that if he's looking for a girl, the beauty is not the standard of Islam, and the wealth is not the standard of Islam. Good characteristics are the standard of Islam, and if a woman had a good characteristic, definitely her children has the good characters as well. So that's very important. If you are looking for a good spouse, you always keep in your mind, whom may we select a spouse with what standards and what sort of qualities and what characteristics.
All right. So the first thing that you are trying to tell over here that plays a major role in upbringing is the selection of a spouse. And selection of spouse should not be on the basis of wealth, the good looks. You're saying the good characteristics, like the guy should be polite, you said. Should the beauty be completely ignored or not? Let's discuss that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Sister Rehana Kazemi, who is talking about upbringing. Sister, you said the best time to start upbringing, Islamic upbringing, is to select a spouse. And before going to the break, I told you that should beauty be completely ignored,
yes,
or not? So, but I think we have many sources, we have many narrations saying that beauty should also be there, but it should not be a major characteristic that we should be looking upon. Well, coming to our main topics, we have certain questions from the audiences, and I would want to start with those. There is a mother who says she has a 13-year-old, and the 13-year-old is very, very disobedient. And how could she help this issue?
I think this is a very common issue, especially in non-Muslim or European countries, that children are very disobedient, and not only in the European or non-Muslim countries, even though in our Muslim families as well. So I will say, first you need to figure out what is the basic point of disobedience, because I am not going to say that disobedience starts in the age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
This is starts from when your child starts like walking, or when he's able to understand that what are you saying, to avoid this thing and do this and do not do this.
When you start ordering do's and don'ts, yes, to a child?
The disobedience and obedience start from that age. I will give an example. When a child is eating a sweet, and mm-hmm. mother always is like worried, if you are eating too much sweets,
mm-hmm.
you will not be able to eat your dinner. It's no point to go on the dinner table because your stomach is already filled with sweets. But when she will try to speak to the child, if she will say in a bossy way, you are not eating more sweets,
that's it.
Yeah. The child will never listen to her. And if a mother will try, that she will make to understand her child that this is not good for your health. And if you eat more sweets, you will not be able to eat dinner. So mm-hmm. the more sweet you eat, that's more harmful for you. I will think disobedience starts from this age, because the parents do not try to make realize the children, or do not try that tell the reason. What is the reason behind this question? And what is the reason behind this problem? Then children start doing disobedience, because they always think we are the boss of the house. And this is the nature of the child. That's why Islam said there are three ages for the children. Age 1 to 7, the children is like your king.
Okay.
And 7 to 14, he is your slave. And 14 to 21, he is your advisor.
Okay.
Because this is a very delicate and sensitive age.
All right.
And a child is like a sponge. His brain is like a sponge, or is a, like a blank slate or a blank board. Whatever you want to write on the board or on the slate, you can write. So this is a very delicate age. You can turn them whatever you want.
All
and
right.
when they will grow up, it's very hard for parents
All
to
right.
teach them.
We'll get back to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us. يا مطي الخيرات
يا مطي الخيرات The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مطي الخيرات يا مطي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. We are with Sister Rehana Kazemi, and we are discussing about disobedience. We had an audience question when mother said she has a 13-year-old who seems to be disobedient. But sister, you're telling that this disobedience does not start in the early youths. This has started somewhere very back in the childhood, when the child was ordered do's and don'ts without reasons. So you're saying to parents that if you want to stop your children from doing something, give them reasons as well.
Yes.
All right, that's the main important point we reached.
Because children like to know about the reason. If anything, if the parents want to oppose on their children, they will never listen. Because they will say, why my mom is doing this?
All right.
If you will give any reason and any like suitable reason, they will definitely understand. So I think there's the problem of everyone that we just impose our decisions on our children and they do not like absorb.
Without reasons.
Okay. And parents are the main concern of their children. Because if I will say to my child, you are not going outside on your bike, he will say, why? And if I am not telling him
the reason. I as a mother do not have enough reasons.
Yeah. And if I will tell him because I am concerned about your accident, if you will go on the bike, you are not still confident to ride your bike because you are still a young kid and there's too much traffic and I am a bit concerned of your like health or your bike or maybe you will fall down or something like that, then definitely he will try to understand the reason and he will avoid to do this.
All right, so you're trying to say that we have some parents, for example, if they want to stop their child, they are telling them, I don't want you to be doing this thing, that's it, I'm done with this, I have told you what I wanted to tell you, and that's it, I have no reason to apply, I have no reason to tell you. So this way, a child will turn into a disobedient child, as per you. You're saying that?
Yeah, if you will tell them the reason and tell them, and also tell them, if you are not doing this, I'm telling you the reason, but if you will do according to your choice, the consequences is upon you.
Okay.
Just make him like to feel that you are a something.
Mm-hmm.
That if you are a something, the consequences are on you because I'm telling you a reason. Then like make to feel him proud or make to feel him that you are a very responsible person since their childhood. Definitely they will listen. Because I also apply these rules on my children. But alhamdulillah.
By giving reasons.
Yes, with reason.
All right. So you have actually applied this policy of providing reasons and then stopping them.
Yes.
And then it worked out for you.
Yeah. And if they do not stop, then tell them, I told you about that. If you will do this, I told you the reason. And I also told you that you are the responsible of the consequences. So now you have to face the consequences. And if he will do this first time and he face the consequences, I'm 100% sure next time, again, when he will try to do this, and you will just remind him or remind her that the first time when you did this, I told you the reason and you was the responsible of your consequences. And I think next time when he will do definitely he will ponder on that.
All right. So next time, whenever he will be trying to go again into the stuff, he will just think over it and then think, shall I go for it or shall I not go for it? You kind of remind me of the holy book, Quran, which is an instruction book for all Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come up with do's and don'ts with reasons, with reasons. And those reasons show his mercy upon us, that see how he is discussing the reasons, how he is discussing the consequences.
Definitely.
And he's not just ordering us. Otherwise, he was supposed to just order. We could have said, he's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's just supposed to order. But he's supposed
to. Because Islam is the deen of religion and nature. And this is in the nature of your children. When you will, when you tell them that the effects, bad effects, or good effects and bad effects of everything, and also try to tell them these are the, like always when you tell the good and bad effects, if you will do this and these are the good effects, and definitely you will get something from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the bad effects, and if you will do this and you are the responsible of the consequences, and
all right.
And after that, you will have to, like, the thing we gave you could be, we will take back.
All right. So you're trying to say that we have to stop our child with reasons. We have to, even if we want to tell them, just do a particular thing, again, with reasons. So everything should be with reasons so that we do not develop disobedient children. Thank you so much, sister, for being us. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. If you have any questions, dear audiences, comments or suggestions, please contact us on englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on the social media websites just by searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also listen to our programs on our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another program, fi aman Allah and God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.